listening to The Martial Brain, the podcast that explores the intersection between the martial arts, science, critical thinking, skepticism, and that wacky organ that floats inside our skull in a pool of cerebrospinal fluid, making life unpredictably inspiring, infuriating, and sometimes just batshit crazy. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. Welcome to the 100th episode extravaganza. Woohoo! And the title of today's episode is The Utter Insignificance of the Number 100 in This Context.
Aww.
Really? The number 100 has no significance? Right. At least this episode has no greater significance than episodes 99 or 101 should have, other than to take the opportunity to use this occasion to talk about this subject. I really love this. What could be more incorruptible by uncritical thinking and pseudoscience than poor, innocent numbers? Numbers are, of course, part of mathematics. Mathematics are the very spine of science and critical thinking. Yet we humans with our quirky brains have managed, or at least many of us have managed, to inflict pseudoscience and superstition on poor, innocent numbers. First of all, there is the pseudoscience of numerology. Numerology is the belief that there is a religious or magical connection between certain numbers and events, or a connection between certain numbers and certain qualities. A significant number of people have put a lot of stock in this thoroughly tested and failed nonsense. The famous Christian theologian St. Augustine was obsessed with numerology. Before chemistry was a science, there was the pseudoscience of alchemy. Many alchemists based their principles on numerology. Numerology strongly resembles another pseudoscience, astrology. And just as with astrology, there are European, Indian, Chinese, Persian, and other flavors of numerology that make very different and frequently contradictory claims. I wonder which kind is the genuine numerology and which ones are fake numerology. Similar to the human fascination with numerology is the obsession many people currently have with the recursive numerical sequence known as the Fibonacci numbers. Named for the 12th century Italian mathematician who first wrote about it, this is the series of numbers which is derived by adding the previous two numbers in the series together. It starts like this. 0, 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, and goes on from there. The ratio of each number to the number that came before is signified by the Greek letter phi, and is 1.618 to 1. Sometimes referred to as the golden proportion. Countless articles and books extol the Fibonacci phenomenon and the golden proportion, citing examples from art, music, sculpture, and architecture in support of the misguided notion that the proportion of 1.618 to 1 is inherently aesthetically pleasing to humans. Even ratios between parts of human anatomy are thought to be significant. For example, it is claimed that a ratio of phi to 1 between a human's height and the height of that human's navel from the ground results in a person of especially attractive proportions. This is obviously subjective rather than objective, and seeing as how different populations of humans exhibit variation in average proportions, this idea strikes me as mildly racist, whether intentional or not. A rectangle which has sides measuring in the proportion of phi to 1 is known as the golden rectangle, and is claimed to be naturally and universally beautiful to humans. A spiral can be constructed using golden rectangles of increasing size, nested against one another. The size increase for each rectangle is of course determined using the golden proportion. This is known as a golden spiral, and of course is claimed to be naturally and universally beautiful to humans. The golden spiral is also claimed to be repeated ubiquitously in nature as the foundation for the placement of limbs around a tree's trunk, the spiral pattern of seeds in a sunflower or a pine cone, and the iconic shape of the chambers in the shell of the shellfish called the nautilus, and in the shape of galaxies, and more. While that sounds amazing, we should remember the words of Carl Sagan, who said, "Extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence." Well, when you dive in deep, the evidence doesn't hold up to that standard, at least not to me. The golden spiral is only one example of a number of different regular spiral shapes called logarithmic spirals, each one of which, to me, is equally beautiful. The spirals from nature, cited as golden spirals, only kinda sorta sometimes fit the pattern and the math. Definitely not often enough to constitute extraordinary evidence. Anyway, in addition to numerology and Fibonacci foolishness, we also tend to be obsessed with what we perceive to be lucky numbers, unlucky numbers, and round numbers. Since I began the discussion about the significance of the number 100, let's start with round numbers, specifically powers of 10. Who among us has not looked forward in anticipation to watching our car's odometer, quote, turn over, unquote, to 100,000 miles? But is that milestone in any real way differently significant than 100,001 miles? If you are over 30, do you dread the approach of your next birthday, fearing that you will then be 1 year older? But in reality, you grow 1 nanosecond older each nanosecond, and 1 day older each day. On your birthday, you are 1 day older than you were the day before. The significance of the year only exists for us because that is how long it takes the Earth to make one orbit around the Sun, and has thus become our customary way to measure age. Yes, we have an almost superstitious attachment to feeling more comfortable with what we perceive as round numbers. The universe, however, is completely indifferent to what we think of as round numbers. In one sense, they actually exist as round only in our minds. This is because their roundness is an artifact from our familiar base 10 numbering system, which is in turn an artifact from the fact that we have 5 digits on each hand. 2 hands full of digits gets you, wait for it, 10. There is no other great significance to the number 10 as a foundation for the way we write numbers. It's just an accident of evolution. Let's take the number 100, for example. We write it as a string of digits that goes 1, 0, 0, which, as you all know, means 100 plus 0 tens plus 0 ones. Remember, the fact that we use a base 10 numbering system does not come from some universal truth or constant. It is completely arbitrary. We could just as easily have a base 8 numbering system. If we had 4 digits on each hand, like a lot of cartoon characters, we probably would. In a base 8 numbering system, we would not have or use the single digits 8 or 9. They would look to us like strange symbols with no meaning, sort of the way that the Cyrillic writing used in Russia looks to us in the West. 8 and 9 would instead be represented by 2 digits each, 10 for 8 and 11 for 9. And they would thus look to you and me like 10 and 11, even though they would actually symbolize what we call 8 and 9. In a base 8 numbering system world, today's episode would be 144. Based on those digits, it wouldn't seem to most of us to be any more significant than any other episode. If we use a base 16 numbering system, which is commonly employed in computer programming and is called hexadecimal, this would be episode number 64. If we used base 2, which is at the root of all computer programming and is called binary, this episode would be number 1100100. So the next time you think of the concept of a nice round number, realize that it only seems that way to your quirky human brain. We humans also fall prey to magical thinking and superstition regarding certain numbers that we perceive as either lucky, unlucky, good, or evil. One inconsistency here is that which number is perceived to have a certain quality varies from culture to culture. One culture's lucky number can easily be an unlucky number for another culture. Of course, the natural response from many people is, "Those other cultures are wrong. Mine is right." Occam's razor points in another direction, suggesting that all of these cultures, including yours, are equally wrong. One famous example in the Western world is the number 13. We even have a clinical name for the fear of this number. It is treeskydecaphobia. For decades in the West, many tall buildings actually skipped the number 13 as the designation for a floor number. That means that the floor above number 12 was designated number 14 to avoid bad luck. Yes, grown-up people who were smart enough to design and build tall buildings actually did this. Although I think it's important to add that many of the architects and engineers probably weren't superstitious themselves, but were trying to accommodate superstitious tenants and clients. I always wondered, though, wouldn't whatever force or agency that you imagine enforces the consequences of bad luck see right through this transparent ruse and realize that the floor labeled 14 is actually the 13th floor and bring the bad luck anyway? Or is it the case that this force or agency is only offended by the written number 13 and not by the quantity 13? Such questions are probably too deep for my simple mind. In Asian cultures like the Chinese, Japanese, Vietnamese, and Korean, the number 4 is considered unlucky, which is a real bummer when you consider how often this number crops up in daily life. It's thought to be bad luck because, in the various languages of these cultures, the word for 4 sounds a great deal like the word for death. And of course, many evangelical Christians have a real problem with the number 666. As is so often the case on this podcast, we now come to the question, what the hell does this have to do with the martial arts? As it turns out, quite a bit. In Chinese, Japanese, Korean, and Okinawan martial arts, the number 108 crops up again and again. Now, the number 108 is a truly cool number in a purely mathematical sense. If you multiply 1 times 2 times 2 times 3 times 3 times 3, you get 108. That's 1 to the first power, times 2 to the second power, times 3 to the third power. That just makes my nerd brain quiver with delight. But in a less purely mathematical vein, among the various sects of the Dharmic religions, Hinduism, Buddhism, and Jainism, you will see this number appear repeatedly. The Hindu god Shiva has 108 names. The rosaries of prayer beads carried by many of these sects have 108 beads. The Dharmic religions had a very strong influence on the Asian martial arts, and a preference for the number 108 was part of that influence. Some examples include the long form of Yang Tai Chi, which has 108 moves. Eagle Claw Kung Fu has a form called the 108 locking hand techniques. Anyone who has practiced Wing Chun Kung Fu has probably heard of the form practiced on the wooden dummy called the 108 movements of the wooden man. Many of the styles which place importance on pressure points agree that there are 108 of them, although as you might imagine, I'm a bit skeptical about that. In Goju Ryu Karate, the last form or kata usually taught is called Suparinpei, which literally translates as 108. Three other katas in Goju Ryu have names that are also numbers. They are 18, 36, and 54, all of which are factors of 108. The seventh form taught in the Korean art Kuksol Wan is called the 108 techniques form. See what I mean? In the Filipino martial arts, specifically those practiced in the majority Christian central and northern Philippines, you will find a great fondness for the number 3. In this case, because of the importance of the Trinity to Christians, at least to modern Christians. This also translates to the footwork patterns of FMA, which are dominated by triangular patterns. As a matter of fact, a commonly repeated phrase among practitioners of FMA is, "If there are no triangles, it's not Filipino martial arts." So as you can see, the human obsession with assigning mystical significance to certain numbers is widespread in the martial arts. I hope you liked the way I chose to spend my 100th episode. In this amazing vast universe, highly educated humans use numbers and the power of mathematics to help them painstakingly ferret out its secrets, while much of the rest of the wacky human race perverts innocent numbers into expressions of primitive superstition. Anyway, That's what I think. But I could be wrong. Let me know what you think, or check out old episodes of the Martial Brain podcast at my website, rpmartialarts.com. I'm Jeff Westfall for the Martial Brain. The Martial Brain is produced by Raging Squirrel Productions in association with the Rising Phoenix Martial Arts Academy. If you like the podcast and would like to help it grow, go to iTunes or Stitcher and give it an honest rating and review. Contact me with questions about the Martial Brain or the Rising Phoenix Academy at our website, rpmartialarts.com.